Let's go with the message this morning, and I think it'll be, well, I definitely think of something you ain't never heard. I sure ain't never preached it, on the number 12. And I'm not the kind of preacher that's just generally going to go through the Bible and preach on numbers. You know, I'd just go nuts if I did stuff like that. But interesting, when I started thinking about 12, and I got excited about 12. We've had other anniversaries, and I've been excited about them too, but something unusual about this one. I don't know what it is. I just kept thinking about it. 12. 12's a big deal. It ain't 50. You know, 50, we about, well, Adam, I've been here for doing this 50 years. Amen? 12, pretty exciting. Amen? I mean, 1's a good number, and all that, but, you know, something about 12, been at it a while. You understand what I'm saying? Say. But ain't old. You understand what I'm saying? Say. 12. Are y'all with me or not? Okay, here we go. 12. 12, not according to Gary, but according to scholars who spend their life living and time studying the scriptures and studying culture and studying all other kinds of stuff. They've come up with this idea that 12 is the number of the church. Say that with me. 12 is the number of the church. And I didn't make that up. I couldn't make that up. Are you kidding me? How can I do that? 12 is the number of the church. And as you'll see today as we look a little bit, the scholars who study and who look at things, as far as the number 12, and I think you'll be convinced by the time I get done with you my little time today, the number 12 speaks of authority. The number 12 speaks of appointment. The number 12 speaks of completeness. Would you say those three words with me? Authority, appointment, completeness. One more time. Authority, appointment, and completeness. Now, I know you're up on, you know, what? How did he get that out of 12? Hang in here. Let's keep looking. Don't forget, I'm from Rockingham. You're from Boone, folks. Y'all from the big city. Y'all talk about people from Rockingham, where y'all from. Come on. Now, the number 12 appears, say it with me, how many times? 187 times. Now, I'm not talking about verse 12. No. I'm not talking about that, all that. I'm talking about the literal number, the word 12 appears 187 times in the Bible. Let's look at some of them. Not all of them, because I ain't got all day. Here we go. We got to eat chicken. Here we go. The 12 sons of Jacob. Who became the 12 what? Tribes of Israel. Why not 9? Why not 5? Well, God says it's going to be 12. Keep looking. Moses built 12 pillars following the Exodus. God wanted this to happen. How many spies were sent to spy out the land, the new land? How many? 12. One from every tribe. So you can tie it back a lot to the tribes, but it's a little bit more involved than that. 12 stones were attached to the breastplate of the priest, having the twelve names of the tribes on it. Actually, in the worship. 12. You see that? Here's the priest got that number on him. We said 12's the number of the church. Did you see the 12 right on his breast? It's in the scriptures. Yes or no? 12 statues of oxen in Solomon's what? Temple, worship. There's 12 again. You see that a little bit? Is it starting to make a little sense maybe why the scholars said what they said? 12 princes brought gifts to the what? For how many days? 12 days. Multiples of the number 12 were used in the measurements and furnishings of the temple. If you look at the measurements and the furnishings of the temple, you can divide it by guess what number? 12. Even on a ruler is how many inches? How many inches in a foot? Where'd all that happen? Isn't it amazing next time you pull out a 12-inch ruler, you can give glory to God. Say, how about that? Say, every foot. Here, look at these little squares down in front of me. You know what there's a little square? They're 12 inches. Look at them right there. See them? Look at them little thing. 12. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. See how that works? Say. Let everything that has breath give what? Thanks, the Lord says. Come on. Jesus' first recorded words in the Bible occurred when he was how old? Why not 13? Why not 15? Why not 8? No, he was how old? In case you don't believe me, let's look at it. And when he was how old? See, it's right there in the Bible. See that right there? They went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And of course, if you know the story, they traveled in caravans. When they get ready to leave, I guess they just assumed Jesus was in that big caravan going back to Nazareth, but he wasn't. And so they had to make a couple of days' journey, maybe 3 days' journey back to get him. And they said, you know, we've sought you sorrowing. Did you not know that? How you might get on to Jesus? Say, come on. And he said unto them, Jesus said, how is it that you sought me? Wished you not that I must be about my what? At age what? Did you hear me? He must be about his Father's business at age what? 12. Boy, that's a message to the church today, isn't it? Fellowship Church. Boy, we need to be about our Father's business. We're 12. Did you hear me say? Now, we need to always be about the business, but we definitely need to be about the business now because we how old? We 12. Come on. Don't just hang it on that. Keep looking. Jesus chose how many disciples? 12. Why? Why not have 30? Why not have 300? Why not have like 3? 12. He chose 12. Even after the feeding of the 5,000, there were 12 baskets of fragments or less. He told every one of them to go get a basket, collect up the fragments. There were fragments in every basket. 12 baskets. Here's an interesting scripture I came across. Here's Jesus in the garden being arrested by the Romans. Judas kisses him on the cheek, betrays him in his darkest hour. Peter pulls out his sword, whacks off Malchus' ear. Remember that story in the Bible? It's a great story, yeah. Jesus puts the dude's ear back on. And then he says, listen, he says this to Peter. He says that Jesus said unto Peter, put up your sword into its place. For all they that take the sword are going to perish with the sword. We're going to get to victory, but we're going to do it another way. Okay? You think it's this way. This isn't the way it's going to go down, Peter. And then he said this to Peter. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than what? 12 legions of angels. Isn't that odd? Why would he say 12? Isn't there a lot of numbers he could have picked, say? Why not 100 legions? Why not 10 legions? Why not 5 legions? Why not 15 legions? 12. Are you getting the gist of what I'm trying to say? Do I know what I'm talking about? No. I'm pointing it out, though, that it is interesting, isn't it? Come on. Scholars tell us after intense research in the Old and New Testament, and even looking at other documents and things like that, that 12 is the number of the church. Fellowship Church, you're 12 years old. There's something significant about 12. We're not done. Let's keep looking. The number 12 in the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. In that book, there are 12 gates to the new city, Jerusalem. 12 gates. There are 12 angels that will serve as gatekeepers. Why 12? Why 12? Why can't there be multiple angels at each gate? God says 12. 12 tribe names are written on the gate. The gates are 12 what? You ever heard songs about the pearly gates or stories or jokes about the pearly gates? Say. Yeah. The wall is built on 12 what? It one foundation enough? How many foundations you usually put in a house? Say, one? Not there, 12. 12. And each foundation bears the name of the what? The 12 apostles. Are you finding this fascinating? I am. The measure of New Jerusalem, there's all kinds of numbers in the book of Revelation about the measurement of New Jerusalem, and it exclusively involves multiples of the number 12. Check it out sometime when you got some time on your hands. Get your little calculator and go do you some math. You'll find it fascinating. Even the tree of life in heaven. There's the tree of life. Remember the tree of life? Don't you hear that tree? The tree of life in heaven bears how many kinds of fruit? 12. Just fascinating, isn't it? You're like, you're boring me to tears. Here we go. There's your ruler. The number 12 speaks of perfect what? Rule. Now, you can have a measuring tape, but it's going to be broken down into what? Feet, isn't it? I got me a 30-foot ruler. Yeah, well, it's broken down into 30 feet. 12. Okay, here we go. Let's talk about it a little more. For 12 hours, the sun rules the day. For 12 hours, the stars rule the night. 12. Making up our 24-hour day. 12. Who did all that? Do you see how God's everywhere? Yes or no? He's everywhere, and we act like we make this stuff up, and it's just this, and it's all that. And God says, no, I did it all. My fingerprints are on everything. Can you believe it? I know all of you from now on, when you see a ruler, you're going to go, man, he said that 12 inches. You did, aren't you? Come on. Good. Hey, go out and look at all the stars. Get your telescope and look at the constellations. Guess how many constellations there are in the zodiac? Guess how many? 12. Isn't that incredible? How does that make you feel, Fellowship Church? You're 12. You know, even a kid when he's 12, when he turns 12, there's something about it. No, he's not the teenager yet, but he's the big dog on campus. He's 12. You know what I'm saying? He's like 12. I'm 12. You know what I'm saying? 12. You how? 12. I'll whoop your butt. 12. Yeah, 12. Something about being 12, man. The circle of the earth is how many degrees? Which is divisible by what? 12 times 30. You might say, Clark, what does that matter? I don't know. I'm just pointing it out. There are 12 months in a year. Why 12? Why can't it be 6 months? Why can't every month be May? That's my birthday month. There's 12 months in the year. There are 12 people on a jury. Why? Well, I'm just thinking about it. Why? You know why, don't you? Because God's got His fingers everywhere. We don't even realize it. 12. There are 12 eggs in a carton of eggs. I don't think it's right when you go to a grocery store and they got them little half egg carton things, almost six eggs. What is that? That's not even right. What is that? Six eggs over here. That's the truth. My mind went crazy. Listen, there are 12 days of Christmas. Why 12? 12. Are you getting it or not? A little silly there. 12. According to scholars, it's the number of the church. And we could draw several conclusions from that already by some things that we've seen. According to scholars, 12 signifies the perfection of government also, or of rule. Therefore, you see the 12 jurors. You see that? You see a foot. That's perfection, a foot. You divide it by so many feet. If you're a contractor, you need to know that. Yes or no? Say. Okay? 12 is the product of 3. That's divine authority. That's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I didn't write this. 12 is the product of 3. That's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and 4. 3 times 4. 4, scholars signify, is a number of the earth, of the earthly number. So, here is the divine and the earthly coming together, and we call that the church. Did you hear me, yes or no? The divine coming among us, dwelling among men. And now He doesn't do it. Angels don't do it. He uses us to do it. The church of the living God. I know that's a little bit of a stretch for some. I don't need to make the stretch. I'm just pointing out what they say. It's sensible to me. 12 is the number of the church. 12 represents authority. When you look at it, you can pull out probably about, go online, anything you can find, you'll probably come to this conclusion pretty quick. 12 represents authority, appointment, and completeness. Say that with me again. 12 represents authority, appointment, and completeness. We really need to get that down because I've got my own little message coming right now. 12 represents authority, appointment, and completeness. 12. Keep looking. God's kingdom, perfect government, and divine authority are somehow connected to the number 12. Especially when you look at the Scriptures. And that's the little bit of case we've been making for the last couple of moments. So 12 is the number of the church. Authority, appointment, and completeness. Now, Roger, we ready to roll with me? Good. I like getting back to what I talk about. Amen. Here we go. Here we go. Authority, appointment, and completeness. Would you say this with me? We are the church. Say that with me. We're the church. We're 12 years old. Fellowship Church is 12 years old. And you know what? God uses imperfect people. He uses me. He uses you. But I'll tell you what. Church will succeed if you do it right. Say that with me. Church will succeed if you do it right. Now, there's a lot of ways to build churches. There's whole organizations that get together. They'll meet with you. They'll tell you this. They'll have this program, that program, this program, that program. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about God told 11 men, because Judas had betrayed. Do we have that scripture? It's a coming, I think. Somewhere. We'll see it if it comes up in a little bit. But he told 11 men to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Were they imperfect men, yes or no? Were they screw-ups? Did they have lots of issues? Some of those jokers that he had traveling with him, they were all fishermen. Are you kidding me? Say, fishermen and crazy people. The church was built on these people. How can you continue to be a success at church, and what can we do to be successful, and it's appointment, completeness, it's authority. What is it that we can do at the church to make it successful? What are we to be about? I've come up with three thoughts. These are just real simple thoughts from me today, right from the scripture, but my thinking today. Number one, we have the perfect Savior. His name is who? Jesus. We need to say that louder. We have the perfect Savior. His name is who?
Jesus.
We have the perfect Savior. I want to prove that to you just a little bit with just one passage. Watch it build on the right side. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. Jesus is God's Son. Whom He has appointed, there's that word, appointed, heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, look at all these things He is, Jesus, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Let me tell you something, we got the perfect Savior. There's one seat at the right hand of God the Father, and Jesus is in it. Did you hear me? Say. I know I say I'm arrogant sometimes, and I'm just narrow-minded. I am narrow-minded. Not arrogant. I am narrow-minded. There's one way. There's one seat, and His name is Jesus. We have the perfect Savior. Church, are you listening to me or not? We have the perfect Savior, Jesus Christ, being made so much better than the angels, as He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. We're talking about Jesus. For unto which of the angels said He at any time, Thou art my Son? None of them. Thou, at this day have I begotten you. He, Jesus, is the only begotten Son of who? God, flat out. And again, I'll be to Him a Father, and He shall be to me a Son. So, we have the perfect Savior, church. Are you listening or not? Say. We have the perfect Savior, Jesus Christ. Look at Hebrews 2. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. He was crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, should do what? Taste death for every... Why wouldn't we succeed? Say, we have the perfect Savior. We have the only answer for a man's soul. We have the only answer to keep a man out of a devil's hell. Did you hear me today? Yes or no? Now, you can say, I don't believe the Bible. Then that's your choice. I do. I believe we have authority. I believe we have appointment. I believe we are complete, baby. Okay? We don't need some newfangled something coming to us on TV for some TV preacher. You listening or not? Say. We've got the perfect Savior. You hearing me today? Jesus humbled Himself for me. Jesus tasted death for me. Who's going to do that for you? Say. Amen. You listening or not? Okay? So we have the perfect Savior. Neither by the blood of goats or calves, but by His own what? Blood, He entered in how many times?
once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for you and me. We have the perfect Savior. He shed His blood for me. He obtained redemption for me. That's Jesus. Hebrews 10. By the which will we're sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus. Say it with me. What? Once for? And every high priest, however, stands daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never what? Take away sins. But look at this incredible verse. But this man, Jesus, after he offered how many sacrifices? One sacrifice is for sins, for what? Ever sat down, there's that chair again, on the what? Are you getting that first point? We have the perfect Savior. Jesus Christ won the victory. He won the victory. All other roads are dead ends. All other gospels are another gospel. Did you hear me or not? And that sounds like, what about all these other people? I'm telling you guys, He's it. He's the pearl of great price. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by who? By Him, Jesus. We have the perfect Savior. We're the church of the living God. And we have the who? We have the perfect Savior. We don't need programs. Guys, listen, we need Him. Did you hear me say? They didn't have stuff. They didn't have... And I'm not against good ideas and things like that. But listen, guys, we need Jesus. We got Him. We got a perfect Savior. Number two, we've been given... Here's that idea again. So here's the perfect Savior. That number 12 speaks of perfection. So we have the perfect Savior. That number 12 also speaks of authority. We've been given divine what? Can y'all help me again? We've been given divine what? Authority. Now look, this is that verse. Jesus is resurrected. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had a... There's that word. What's that word? Appointed them. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him. Some doubted. That would be understandable, I'd say. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, here it is, all power, or all what? Is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world, even unto the end of the age. We've been given divine authority. Guys, we're the church. Are you listening? Am I boring you to tears today? We have the perfect Savior. Why should I come to fellowship? Because we got the perfect Savior. And any other church, by the way, that teaches the truth. Amen. Say. But they're teaching something other than the truth. God's not blessing that. I don't care what their numbers are. Did you hear me? He gave His Son. We have the perfect Savior. We need to magnify Jesus. We've been given divine authority to do what? To tell people about Jesus. He has said, you're going to do it. Me plus you equals a job well done. Amen. 12. Okay? 3 plus 4, you jokers? We're going to get something done. Or 3 times 4, you? We're going to get something done. Amen? That's 12. Come on. So, we've been given divine authority. He says, go everywhere, tell everybody, teach everyone. Say that with me. Go everywhere, tell everybody, teach everyone. Can we do it one more time? Go everywhere, tell everybody, teach everyone. Why wouldn't I? Say, if He's the only way, and He is, if He's the perfect Savior, and He is, and He's given me authority. He saved me. He's called me now. I'm His ambassador. Is that correct? Yes or no? That's what we are. We're now pilgrims and strangers down here, the Bible says. We've got a home in heaven. Beulah Land. Amen. We need to go everywhere, tell everybody, and teach everyone about our little programs? No. About this perfect Savior. You listening? That's us, the church, guys. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You, man. You. You mean you. You. And you shall be what? Witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in Judea, keep stretching on out, Samaria, uttermost part of the earth. You mean this stuff here starting in Jerusalem is going to go around the world? Oh, yeah. You're going to be my witnesses. But I'm going to be in you. That's where that 12 comes from. This thing we started with 12, it's going to multiply. And look at the book of Acts, how quickly the multiplication was with the church. So I am his witness. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the what? That's that word again. That power, that authority, that appointment, that completeness. Listen, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That means anybody on the planet that will believe, they can be saved. It's the power, man. I'm not ashamed. Can you say that with me? I am not. Can we say it again? I am not ashamed. I'm not ashamed to be the pastor of Fellowship Church. Hey, I ain't ashamed of him, but I'm not ashamed of you. Did you hear me? I'm not ashamed of you. I love you. Not ashamed to put a sticker, not just one on my pickup truck. There's like three of them. I had them made special on my back glass. Just spell our name right. Fellowship. Not ashamed. Amen? Say. They say the boldest color is red. Well, let's make the sticker red then. Amen? Say. Not ashamed. Why would I be ashamed of the perfect Savior? Yes or no? Why would I be ashamed of you serving the Lord with you? God saved you. He gave His life for you. Hey, if you're good enough for Him, you're good enough for me. Amen. Say. Come on. The number 12. The third point of the message today, and I'm done. The church. We have the perfect Savior. You don't need to look any further. You found Him. Amen. We've been given divine authority. God Himself said, go, go, go. You mean you'll use me with all my flaws and my sin and my struggle? Absolutely. I'd much rather use you. You're real down there. You can relate to those folks out there on this planet. Good. He chose real fellows with warts and wrinkles. He's chosen us. Come on, guys. Number three, I love this. Church. We're talking about church today. We have the greatest what? We got the greatest message. I don't care what it is. What company comes along, what product comes along. How many have been hunted down like dogs and slaughtered and still selling? Still doing. The Church of Jesus Christ, from the get-go, hunted down, slaughtered like dogs. And the church is triumphant today. Did you hear me? Yes or no? We have the greatest message. Nothing can beat our message. We don't need to repackage our message, dude. You hear me? Here's the message right here. The problem with the church today is we're trying to do so many other things. They're saying so much other stuff, like it's the way you dress or what Bible you use. We're creating things that trip people before they can get to Jesus. Are you hearing me today? It's insanity. Telling us about the money. Oh, if you send me your money on TV, you'll get this. That you're tripping people up. Shut up. Are you listening to me today? We have the greatest message, and here it is, friend. You don't need to change it, and don't screw it up. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the greatest message. I'll tell you that right now. I'll take that. Okay? That's a great message, church. Why wouldn't we succeed? Say, here's a way we'll fail. Try to make something else more important than that message. Did you hear me? Yes or no? Try to get clever and do something to, ooh, if we can just, would you stay with that? Say, come on, we have the greatest message. Here's the message we have, church, to this community. God loves you. Well, don't tell me that. That's just terrible. They're not going to say that. They're not going to say that. Hey, God loves you. Not God loves you. No, God loves you. God loves you. Does God love us when we're just doing right? Does God love us even when we're sinners? While we're yet sinners, did He actually die for us? So there's nothing in any circumstance when you're dealing with somebody that you can't say God loves you. God loves a murderer? Oh, yeah. He's God, man. That's pretty powerful. Amen? Say. Can God love a cheater? Sure, He does love a cheater. Does He love the cheating? No. Does He love the killing? No. Does He love that person? God loves you. Do you see how that... Is that a great message or what? Say. All right, come on. How about this one? How about this? God loves you. Here's the message we have. He gave His Son for you. I've never told somebody God loves them and He gave His Son for them and they spit in my face. If it happens, so be it. I've never had that happen. Now, guys, this isn't a message you can just run out there and do without it being real in your life. You hear me now? This is a message for the church. This isn't a message for people playing church. And now if you're playing church and trying to, well, God loves you and He gave His Son for you, and they see that you're just a player, it ain't going to fly. But if you are the church and you have received Christ and you believe He is the perfect Savior and you believe that He has given you the divine authority to reach and go and tell, don't be surprised when you tell it, it's going to get received. He didn't give us a plan to fail. He gave us a plan. He left it in our hands to succeed. So God loves you. He gave His Son for you. And how about these words right here? I love these four words. You matter to Him. How do you like that? How does that make you feel? Say, do we have the best message going or what? No, we need to repackage it. We need to come up with it. No, would you hush? Shh, don't mess with the message. You matter to Him. Now, a lot of folks don't know they even matter. And so I've told them you matter to Him, and they can't receive it sometimes because they don't realize they even matter at all. And that's where you come in. And that's where I come in. And here's the message. You matter to me, too. Is that a pretty good message or what? You think that'll work? I say we go with it. God loves you. Say it with me. God loves you. He gave His Son for you. You matter to Him. And wait a minute. You matter to me. How about you come to fellowship with me and you sit with me? Absolutely. My family, y'all come sit with me. You matter to us. Instead of just inviting people or whatever and, you know, okay, whatever. Care for people. Amen? Say. We have the perfect Savior. Amen? Do we need to fix Jesus or is Jesus good enough? Say. Did He do all right without us? Say. Yes or no? I see the church trying to fix Jesus today. They're trying to make Him something. I think He's pretty good. I like Him. Just like that. I think we'll just stick with Jesus the way He is. Amen? Say. Okay, so we have the perfect Savior, Jesus. We've been given divine authority. Guys, we're the church, you and me. It wasn't just Peter's job. Remember, say, sure, Peter was a leader, sure, but it was everybody's job, right? Even the Apostle Paul got involved, who was a persecutor of Christians. He became very involved in helping build the church, and now 13 books of the New Testament were written by a man like that Peter was scared of. Is that true, yes or no? Sure it is. We've been given divine authority. It's not just Peter. It's all of them. And even a guy like Paul, a person like you, a person like me. My drunk mama got saved. She touched so many lives. Come on. We've been given divine authority, so go. And then finally, we have the greatest message. We have the greatest message. You know what that message is? Love. Isn't that a great message or not? Say. Is that a great message or what? We love Jesus. Yeah, can we praise Him? We love Jesus, we love Him. Is that a great message? Yeah, but. What's y'all's message if we love Jesus, we love... Yeah, but.
Well, yeah, but y'all need more.
No, you really don't. We love Jesus and we love you. That's a lot. That's a truckload. Amen? And by the way, we're going to be faithful to that. I'm committed here. I'm not leaving. Did you hear me? Because it's about him and they matter. This is my town. Did you hear me? It sounds arrogant. I wish more of you would get that in your gut and say, this is my town. These are my neighborhoods. These are people I care about. Why in the world can't I get off my rear end and walk across a restaurant and say, how are you doing? Is it wrong to just go introduce yourself to somebody? Yes or no? Say. And in this town, you got it made in the shade, baby, because you don't know if they've just moved here or not. Act stupid. It's okay. Go ahead. Is it okay to take ownership? Say. Come on, man. Invest in people. This is a great thing, guys. Here we go. Jesus plus go plus love equals grow. Church, it's time for you to grow. You're 12 years old. You're going to be growing out of them britches and them shoes. Boy, you're fixing to sprout. Amen? Say, Jesus plus go plus love equals what? Jesus plus go plus love equals what? If you want to grow Fellowship Church, it's all about Jesus. We've been given the authority to go and love on people. Don't be surprised if we don't grow, 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 grow. Amen. You listening or not? Say. All right. You got to believe that way. Gary needs to believe that way. How many say, Pastor, you better be listening to your own message. Look at your heads nodding. I'm terrible at this. Amen. Come on. So that message was for me today. 12 years. I think that's why God was speaking to me all week. Gary, 12. 12. Would you stop being negative and start being positive? You're 12. Now you're going to grow, man. Amen. Let's praise the Lord for the message this morning. Amen. Come on. For the Lord's Word. Woo! Praise the Lord. We got to go eat.